Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, there's nothing like a good cliffhanger or a twist ending to end a movie or a book. And sometimes we like that, and sometimes we don't, of course. Also, how about those infamous words that can show up at the end of a movie or a TV episode? To be continued. Now, all of these things put us in a spot where we can have a sense that the story is over, or can show us that the story is to be continued. And a lot of times, we have a sense that stories are to be continued in our life, but also we have a sense in our lives that sometimes stories are over, and it can be sad, and it can be disappointing. Now, not only does this happen in our daily lives as we watch movies and read books or see things on TV, but also, isn't this true how life kind of works? Life kind of works in a way where we might find ourselves thinking something's going to continue, and then all of a sudden it's over, or completely thinking that you've reached an end, a dead end, as it were, in life, where you've got to turn around and try again. Now, all of these circumstances are things that we go through in our daily lives because these are just kind of how life is. These are kind of moments and experiences that we have that kind of show us how life is put together. And of course, just because we're experiencing this doesn't mean that we're unique. In fact, people have been experiencing this tension, this reality of not knowing whether they're at a dead end or at a to-be-continued moment in life for a very long time. And of course, there's a particular group of people that found themselves in a moment where they thought they had the ultimate dead end. They thought that nothing good was going to happen next. But in fact, actually, they were in the ultimate to-be-continued moment. They couldn't see it, but that's where they were. Now, this group of people that I'm talking about are the followers of Jesus that have found themselves in a very difficult and very unexpected moment. And in particular, the one that they had, that they found themselves in, was the moment after Jesus had died. Now, remember that when those first moments were happening, when Jesus had died, they thought it was dead end. They thought it was game over. They didn't have any idea it would be a to be continued. But that's what was happening. Now, we have to remember in that moment that they would have expected that everything had just been shut down in their lives. What they had gone through was this loss that was so damaging and so confusing and so fear-inducing that they would have never expected what actually happened to be what had happened. On that Friday, remember, they had watched their rabbi, their teacher, their family member be crucified as a common criminal. They actually didn't even have enough time to bury him because he died at the beginning of the Sabbath. And these were all good Jewish people, and so they didn't want to break the Sabbath. They also didn't want to be unclean as they were going into the Sabbath weekend of the Passover festival, like the most important party of the year for them. And all of this sets up a situation where they simply thought Jesus was dead and that he was going to stay that way. Because what do dead people do? They stay dead. And they would have thought everything was ended. Now, you can also imagine that they would be afraid of what was coming next, because as they might have gathered after they had scattered, because remember, Peter had denied Jesus, Judas had left and taken his own life, others had scattered, apparently they got back together and started to figure out what was going to happen next. Now, remember, they thought Jesus was dead and was going to stay dead. So what they probably were doing was debating amongst themselves who was going to take up the mantle of leadership next. Because in the first century Jewish world, if there was a group of people like Jesus had, and their leader had been killed, they wouldn't have thought, oh, he's going to come back. What they would have said was, who's going to be next? They had a next man up mentality. And at the moment, they probably would have thought Peter was going to take up the reins because he was kind of the loud one. He might have had a weak moment, but he was still kind of the leader of the group. But they weren't sure yet. And they had good reason to be afraid because Jesus had just been arrested, convicted, and killed by people who had done all of this. And those same people were still in power, of course, because all of this was just happening in days later. And then, of course, they would have been wondering if they were going to come for them next. because the best way to squash a rebellion is to take out the leadership. That's just part of history. And so they would have been afraid of all these things. Now, they would have been wondering what comes next, but not in the story. They would have been wondering what comes next for them, and they would have wondered if they had any days left in their lives. So when Mary decides to go to the tomb on that morning to see what's going on, she wasn't going to find someone who had come back from the dead. She was simply going to probably complete what had needed to be completed on Friday, but they ran out of time, that the burial wasn't complete. And she goes there to make sure that that was happening. And of course, she goes there, and we now know what happens. She finds that the stone has been rolled away. But in the version of the story that we get in the Gospel of John, it's the same concern that we find in other versions of the Gospel. She's really worried that the grave had been robbed, because that's the only thing that she would have assumed had happened. Now, in the version in the Gospel of John of the story of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene goes and finds the tomb has been opened. She runs back to the disciples, in particular, finds them and tells them what had happened, that the grave had been robbed. And so Peter, being concerned, and another one of the disciples, we assume it's a guy named John, went with Peter and Mary, those three of them, went back to the tomb to see what had happened. It says that John ran ahead and got there first, but didn't go in, but that Peter arrived second and decided to take a peek in. And what do they find? An empty tomb. They curiously found that the grave clothes or some of the cloths there had been neatly packaged up, but they would have noticed that and just thought that's odd. What did they discover? An empty tomb. And what did they start to believe when they got there? They believed that Mary had told them what was right. And Mary had said the grave had been robbed. And so, of course, they leave dejected. They leave with a complete lack of understanding of what's going on, and they leave wondering who would have robbed the grave of Jesus. Now, fortunately, Mary doesn't leave, but it's for really sad reasons. It says that she starts to weep, and to weep over this whole situation. I mean, and can you blame her that she'd be weeping at this point? I mean, everything that they had gone through, the shock of the execution, the wonderment of the situation, and then the grave had been robbed, you'd be crying too. I imagine that these were probably like ugly tears, like an ugly cry, and she was like, oh my goodness, and like, you know, would have to like blow her nose and all that kind of stuff. Well, in the midst of her weeping, she pokes her head into the tomb, and an amazing thing happens. It says that she sees two angels sitting there, and they ask her, why are you weeping? And she says to them, I'm weeping because they have taken my Lord and I don't know where he is. She then gathers herself apparently and turns around and she sees another man. And she doesn't know who this man is. But apparently, this is Jesus. And she can't see it yet. I mean, it makes sense. She's been weeping. And the man says to her, why are you weeping? Now, according to the text, she assumes that the man, who's actually Jesus, is the gardener. And so she says to him, please, sir, if you know where you have put Jesus, tell me. And then, in a single word, Jesus starts to show Mary that it isn't a dead end that they're facing, but rather a to be continued. He instantly says to her, Mary. He uses her name. And she turns and she realizes who it is. Because, of course, when Jesus uses your name, when he calls you, you know who he is. And she turns and she says to him, teacher. And apparently she falls down and grabs him. Maybe she falls down and grabs his feet. Maybe she just gives him the ultimate bear hug. We don't know exactly. But Jesus then returns and talks to her and says, Mary, you cannot hold on to me so tightly. Because you know what? I'm going back to God. I'm going back to where I came from. And here's what I need you to do, Mary, Jesus says to her. I need you to go to the disciples and tell them what you have seen. Tell them what you've heard. Tell them that I am going back to God where I came from. And good news is, Mary decides to go back and do exactly what Jesus says. Mary gets back to the disciples and to the people who had gathered, and she starts to tell them everything that had happened to her. And you know what happens? They believe her. I mean, for the first time in human history, the men believe the woman. Oh, shoot, that's not what happens, actually. In fact, actually, we find out that at first, at least, they didn't believe her at all. Because what did she find? She found them being afraid. What continued to happen? That they were still afraid. Maybe more confused by her story, but they were afraid. They were locked up in a room. And if they had believed her, maybe they would have acted differently. But they were still afraid. They still believed simply that the grave had been robbed and Mary was probably just in some kind of hysterics, they would have assumed. And so they simply just stay where they are. Well, the good news is that they didn't stay alone. They didn't stay alone in the least, because you know who shows up in their midst? Jesus shows up. Jesus goes from where he was and finds his way to where the disciples have been gathered. And the most amazing thing happens. He appears to them in the room. The inference is the text, because the room was locked and they were fearing the Jews because they thought they were going to come for them next, was that Jesus made his way into the room through the locked door. And whether Jesus made it in a miraculous way or not is kind of a little detail that is interesting to us, but not the main point. The main point is the person who they thought was dead was then alive and with them. That's the amazing thing that just happened. That later on from the day in which Jesus had been raised from the dead, Mary had discovered this. Later on in that day, Jesus shows up to them. And it says that he says, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." Which makes sense that that would be the first kind of thing that he needs to say to them, of course, right? Because just like when there's an angel and the angel says, "Do not be afraid," because everyone's afraid, you would need to know God is at work if someone who was dead and you thought was going to stay dead shows up. And "peace be with you" was one of the ways to remind them that God was with them. And very few people can say that, but Jesus could. I mean, what happens next is absolutely amazing as well. It says that he is able to let the people see his hands that had holes in them from being crucified. Then they could see the side where he had been pierced, where they had speared him to make sure that he was dead. And they started to believe, without a doubt in that moment, that Jesus had come back from the dead. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus never just stops with one amazing thing. He then says one of the most important things that would ever be said to the disciples. He says to them and all who are gathered there, "Listen to me. Peace be with you. But as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As God has sent me, now I send you," is what Jesus says to them. And he then gives them an ultimate gift. It says that he breathes on them and the Holy Spirit of God comes upon them, which is the ultimate fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made to them, that he was going to be with them always, even if he wasn't there himself. And after that, he then gives them the charge that they're going to have, which is to tell the whole world that God loves them and give everyone the opportunity to know what God had done through Jesus. He says to them that you are going to go into the world and tell everyone that I love them. And this was amazing news for them. And this was an amazing gift that God gave to them. This was such important news for them because they thought that God had abandoned them when Jesus died. What they learned in that moment was that God hadn't even abandoned them, that God was with them, and that God was doing something amazing through Jesus. But then also, remember, what they heard in that moment was that God loved not just them, but God loved everybody. And that was something remarkable to them too, because so many people thought that the divine God or gods or whatever didn't love people. They thought that God was constantly punishing people. They thought that God was angry with them all the time. If they believed in other gods, they thought they were punishing them for their amusement. That's the understanding of God that so many people had back then. But what does God tell them they're going to do? They're going to tell the whole world that they are loved by God and that God has shown the world this through Jesus. And they would have heard this and they would have been so blessed by this. They would have been so amazed by this. And they would have been so grateful for this, that this is how their story was going to continue. That they weren't facing a dead end, but they were facing a moment of a to be continued and one that they didn't see coming. And here's the beautiful thing about this, is that this wasn't just something for them to know. This was something for everybody to know. This was something that they were prepared to tell people, who would tell people, who would tell people. And you know where this is headed? Which means that it was true for them, and it's still true for us today. It was true for them that God loved them and God wasn't angry with them. It was true for them, and it's still true today, that God is so pleased with us because of God's grace in our lives. And that's what happened in that moment. That ultimate to be continued that they faced in that moment continues on to today. That we can know that God loves us. That we can know that God is with us. That we can know without a shadow of a doubt that God did something amazing through Jesus, and it was to bring love into this world. We might have all kinds of questions of how this works, or even sometimes why God did this. But what we can know with great certainty is that God loves us and we don't face condemnation, that we don't face punishment from God. Rather, we face love from God. And that is something that is so important for us. That's something that's so important for us every day of our lives. That is the gift that God gives each day, and it's a gift that we can accept every day. Now, the disciples then, and maybe many of us today, often think that we face a dead end, that when we make a mistake, God's done with us, that when something bad happens to us, it's a sign that God's done with us. But the reality of the way God is at work all the time is that we're always living in a to be continued. We're always living in moments where there is something more for us, and that often is God's love. And there's always an opportunity for us to share that love with other people. Jesus coming back from the dead was a sign of God's great love for all of us. And it's a reminder for each one of us that God is never done with us, that God wants us to experience the gift of God's love every day, every moment that we have. And when we realize that it's not a dead end or not a game over, but that rather life is a to be continued, we remember the ultimate sign and the ultimate promise that God hasn't condemned us, rather that God has loved us. Mary, when she got to the tomb, thought that it was over. Peter and John, when they got to the tomb, thought it was over. But it was not over, it was to be continued. We might face circumstances in our life where we think it's over as well, but it's never over. It's always a to be continued with God because of God's love, because God is with us. And we need to remember that God is with us and that God loves us and that God wants our lives to continue with that love and with that peace. That's what God wants for us. So let's continue on forward in that way.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.